हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः कृष्णयजुर्वेदीये काठकशाखायां काठकोपनिषदि अथवा कठोपनिषदि प्रथमाध्याये द्वितीयावल्ली सेकेण्ड् सेक्शन् आफ् दि फस्ट् चाप्टर् आफ् कठोपनिषत् belonging to Kataka branch of Krishna Yajurveda. Anyachcheyonyadutaiva preyaste ubhenanarthe purushansinitaha tayoshreya adadanasya sadhubhavati hiyatethadya upreyo vrunite. श्रेयश्च प्रेयश्च मनुष्यमेत मनुष्यमेतस्तौ सम्परीत्य विनक्ति धीरः श्रेयो हि धीरोऽभिप्रेयसो वृणीते प्रेयो मन्दो योगक्षेमादृणीते सत्त्वम् प्रियान् प्रियरूपांश्च कामान् अभिध्यायन्नचिकेतोऽत्यस्राक्षीः नैताम् शृङ्काम् वित्तमयीमवाप्तो यस्याम् मज्जन्ति बहवो मनुष्याः दूरमेते विपरीते विशोची अविद्याया च विद्येति ज्ञाता विद्याभिप्सिनम् नचिकेतसम् मन्ये न त्वा कामा बहवो लोलुपन्त अविद्यायामन्तरे वर्तमाना स्वयम् धीराः पण्डितम् मन्यमानाः दन्द्रम्यमाणाः पर्यन्ति मूढा अन्धेनैव नीयमाना यथान्धाः न साम्पराय प्रतिभाति बालम् प्रमाद्यन्तम् वित्तमोहेन मूढम् अयल्लोको नास्ति पर इति माने पुनः पुनर्वशमापद्यते मे श्रवणायापि बहुभिर्यो न लभ्यः शृण्वन्तोऽपि बहवो यन्न विद्युः आश्चर्यो वक्ता कुशलोऽद्य लब्धा आश्चर्यो ज्ञाता कुशलानुशिष्टः न नरेणावरेण प्रोक्त एष सुविज्ञेयो बहुधा चिन्त्यमानः अनन्यप्रोक्ते गतिरत्र नास्ति अणीयान् ह्यतर्क्यमनुप्रमाणात् नैषा तर्केण मतिरापनेया प्रोक्तान्येनैव सुज्ञानाय प्रेष्ठा याम् त्वमाप सत्यधृतिर्बतासि त्वादृङ्नो भूयान्नचिकेतः पृष्ठा जानाम्यहम् शेवधिरित्य नित्यम् न ह्यध्रुवैः प्राप्यते हि ध्रुवम् तत् ततो मया नाचिकेतश्चितोऽग्निर्नित्यैर्द्रव्यै प्राप्तवानस्मि नित्यम् कामस्याप्तिम् जगतः प्रतिष्ठाम् क्रतोरनन्त्यमभयस्य पारम् क्रतोरनन्त्यमभयस्य पारम् स्तोममहदुर्गायम् प्रतिष्ठाम् दृष्ट्वा धृत्या धीरो नचिकेत्योऽत्यस्राक्षीः We have seen until this mantra. You see the 12th mantra today. We have just started reading the mantra. We'll see that. So Lord Yama continues. He praises the knowledge. He praises the Atma, he praises the knowledge of the Atma. And even he praises the benefit of the, praises me, discusses the benefit of this Atma Jnanam also. Let us see the 12th mantra now. Tandurdarshan Gudhamanu Pravishtam Guhanihitam Gahvareshtam Puranam अध्यात्मयोगाधिगमेन देवम् मत्वा धीरो हर्षशोकौ जहाति तम् दुर्दर्शम् गूढमनुप्रविष्टम् तम् दुर्दर्शम् गूढमनुप्रविष्टम् குஹாஹிதம் கஹ்வரேஷ்டம் புராணம் அத்யாத்மயோகாதிகமேன தேவம் மத்வா தீரோ ஹர்ஷசோகோ ஜஹாதி. சோ லார்ட் யமா சேஸ் தீரஹ ஜஹாதி. சோ தீரஹ இஸ் அ வைஸ் பர்சன் ஹூ ப்ரொடெக்ட்ஸ் த மைண்ட் with his wisdom. Dhyarati iti dhiraha, one who protects his mind with the knowledge from the unhappiness is dhiraha. And the person of wisdom alone can be the bravest person, the fearless person. The most fearless person is the bravest person, the courageous person. And he is the one who has protected his mind from fear. How? With his wisdom, with his knowledge. Achab dhiraha jahati. Jahati literally means gives up. But it means he becomes free from the hold of mind. He becomes free from the hold of mind. Which means he becomes free from all the mental fluctuations, all mental agitations, all mental experiences, all pairs of opposites. He becomes free from the hold of memory. He becomes free from all pairs of opposites, obtaining the form of thoughts. So, harsha shokau, harshaha pleasure, shokaha pain. He becomes free from the hold of all pairs of opposites in terms of pain and pleasure. It becomes free from pairs of opposites, the pain and pleasure. Why? Because he claims fullness of happiness as limitlessness, everlasting happiness as his own sarupam. In the wake of knowledge, this person, in the wake of knowledge of one's own sarupam, this person taking ownership of happiness, fullness of happiness, everlasting happiness as his sarupam, he objectifies, he becomes free from the hold of time-bound pairs of pairs of opposites such as pains and pleasures, etc. He becomes free from pairs of opposites. See, pain is a relative experience. Time-bound experience, which is relative. Anything time-bound is relative. Timeless is absolute. So pain, what is pain? It's a state of mind, which is an experience, which obtaining them of a thought. And it's a time-bound experience. Therefore, it is relative. Pleasure also is time-bound. Pleasure also is time-bound. It's a desirable state of mind is pleasure, harshaha. And shokaha is undesirable state of mind. And these pleasure and pain are time-bound mental conditions. And he does not take himself to be subject to pain and pleasure because he claims himself to be Atma. He claims Atma as his own sarupam, his own self. He claims consciousness as one's own self. Consciousness implied with the term Atma as one's own self. Therefore, he claims happiness, fullness of happiness, limitless happiness, everlasting happiness, the nature of consciousness as his own sarupam. He becomes objective towards his own mind. Thereby, he becomes free from the hold of pairs of opposites. He becomes free from the hold of pain and pleasure. He doesn't become subject to pain and pleasure anymore. He's not afflicted, does not become elated by pleasure, does not become dejected by pain. He remains absolutely equanimous, being objective towards them. He is a wise person, he is muktaha. Harsha shoko jahati means he attains jivan muktihi. He transcends all pairs of opposites. Means he becomes objective towards them. See, transcending all pairs of opposites, transcending pain and pleasure means becoming objective towards them. Becoming objective towards them means not internalizing pain and pleasure as one's own anymore. Why? Because he has taken ownership of Atma, Atma Surupam, fullness of happiness, as his own self. And so Harshashoko Jahati. That's why it is said, Matva, having discovered. Only after having discovered, distinguished one's own self, having discovered one's own self, having taken ownership of Atma as one's own self, Matva, having discovered the self. And what is the self? Who is the self? Devam, the Atma, who is of the nature of effulgence, who is of the nature of knowledge, Devam Matva. He negates the anatma. He negates the body as object of knowledge. He negates the sense organs as objects of knowledge. He negates objects of actions. He negates karmendriyani, instruments of actions, instruments of knowledge as objects of knowledge. He negates his own mind, the intellect, memory, even ahankara as object of knowledge. And he takes himself to be the subject of knowledge. And who is subject? I am the knower. I, the knower, am distinct. Distinct from, different from the known ahankara. The known, the mind, known intellect. Thereby, who is the knower? The knower of the states of mind. The knower of the mind is distinct from the known mind. The knower, the pairs of opposites which come and go are mental conditions, mental fluctuations caused by the perception of external situations, external objects. So the situations come and go. And the knower of the arriving, departing mental fluctuations, mental conditions is distinct from the known mind. And that knower, if you analyze, there's no knower. Knower is only a qualification attributed to the abstract, formless consciousness. Abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing. The knower refers to the abstract, formless, unobjectifiable, incomprehensible, subtlest reality. And the reality is of the nature of knowing. Because of the nature of knowing, the knower qualification is attributed to the Atma. Why does Atma know? Knowing is just Swarupam. Therefore, and that Atma, which is of the nature of knowing, is implied by the term Devaha. It was said to be effulgent. Because why Atma is said to be self-effulgent? Atma is self-revealing. Atma is of the nature of knowing. Atma is not dependent on the known to come to light. Atma has arrived in terms of its nature of knowing, in the presence of which the known comes to light. Therefore, here, it is a Devaha, Devam Matva. I have recognized that Atma, a wise person, becomes free from the all pairs of, hold of all pairs of opposites, pleasures and pain. How? Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena. Being given to the discipline of self-knowledge. Adhyatma Yoga means Atma Jnanam. Adhigamena. So being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge, strictly. So being given to the pursuit of self or Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamaha. Being given to the discipline of self-knowledge, pursuit of self-knowledge. Going through Shravanam and Nidhyasanam. distinguishing the Atma from the Anatma. Then discerning the Atma, having discovered the Atma, this person becomes free from bondage of samsara. Harsha Shoko Jahati means he becomes free from the samsara while living, becomes Jivan Muktaha. Later on, as a Jivan Muktaha, when Parabdha gets exhausted, he will leave and he will also attain Videha Muktihi. But the rest of the words describe the Atma. Atma is Durdarshaha. Atma, this Tam Devam Matva. So having discovered that Atma, which is not easily comprehensible, Durdarshaha, Gudha. Atma is not really, Gudha means hidden. Atma cannot be hidden by anything, veiled by anything, covered by anything. Why? Because anything which covers must be bigger, greater, subtler. So subtler thing, Atma is of the nature of subtleness. Atma is the subtlest reality. Atma, therefore Atma is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. Such Atma, which is of the nature of infinitude, which is the subtlest, cannot be veiled, covered, hidden by anything. No, not Annamaya Kosha, not the physical body, not the prana, not the mind, not the intellect, nothing can cover the Atma. No panchakoshas, none of the panchakoshas can really cover the Atma, veil the Atma. Atma is as though hidden. Hidden by what? Hidden by? As though hidden. Gudaha. As though hidden. And what is that veils the Atma is the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, Gudaha, Atma being the subtlest, Atma cannot be covered by anything. Gudaha, Atma is as though hidden. Anupravishtaha. See, Anupravishtaha means there's Anupravesha Shruti in Taittiriya Upanishad. Atma, all pervasive Atma, is also there, manifest in every mind. Thereby being manifest in the mind, Atma is available for recognition only in the mind. This Atma being available for recognition in the mind, being manifest there, is said to be as though Atma has entered into the mind. Anupravishtaha. All pervasive. If we see many parts placed here, and the all pervasive space has not really entered into the pot. But still, the space can be said to be what? Anupravishtaha akashaha. Anupravishtaha akasha means what? All pervasive space, all pervading, all pervasive space, obtaining in the pot is as though, it looks as though it has entered into the pot. Similarly, the abstract, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is implied by the term Atma, obtaining in the mind, which is manifest in the mind, is said to have as though entered into the mind. Anupravishtaha. Anupravishtaha. Guhahitaha. Again, I said mind is also said to be guha, cave, and the physical heart also said to be cave. Because why it is like a cave? The mind, heart is said, physical heart is said to be guha, cave, because that is the golakam for the mind. Just as every physical organ becomes the golakam for given power, given shakti, how your eye is your eyeball is the golakam for the seeing power, your eardrum is the golakam for the hearing power, your skin is the golakam for the power of touch. All the subtle powers are imperceptible, subtle powers are indriyani. The physical parts become the golakani. At the time of death, when the body is sent for cremation, indriyani are no more present. That is why only golakams are sent, golakams, the body consisting of golakams alone is pushed into the crematorium, the fire. That alone is cremated, that alone is burnt. Indriyani are not there. If indriyani are there, then there'll be experience, there'll be pain. We can't do that. We know that very well, but along with the mind, all subtle powers also go away at the time of death. Now, I want you to understand, so there are subtle powers. And for each power, there is a golakam. Here, mind, antahkaranam, mind, the internal instrument of knowledge, which alone is given four different functional names as manaha, buddhihi, chitta, mahankaraha. That mind is also indriyam. And that with mind, it is subtlest instrument. Mind is behind all subtle instruments. The five instruments of knowledge, instruments of actions, all of them function because of the backing up of the mind. Mind is subtler, much subtler instrument. Absolutely subtle. So mind cannot be perceived through anything, because mind is, because the presence of mind, the perception of external objects is possible. Such a mind, which is not available for objectification through sense organs, because the presence of which all the instruments function, that mind, antahkaranam, is also power, shakti, indriyam. And for which the golakam is physical heart. Therefore, as mind is the indriyam having the heart as the golakam, heart is said to be guha. And mind also said to be guha because cave, it is the mind where countless number of thoughts are there. And all the thoughts means what? All pairs of opposites are thoughts. All experienced pairs of thoughts is all thoughts only. Hum of thoughts. All pairs of opposites are in the form of thoughts. Emotions are in the form of thoughts. Knowledge is everything in the form of thoughts. So, knowledge of anything in the world is a thought. Memory is a thought. So, when in the mind, we have to negate all these thoughts pertaining to pairs of opposites, pertaining to objects, etc. as anatma. And we have to go to the dead end of the mind. What a dead end of the mind? There's no dead end of the mind. We take the ahankara, knowledge of self-existence. Aham asmi, I am. The knowledge of self-existence obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am is always looked upon as dead end of the mind, because beyond that there is no thought. There's no thought. Aham asmi, I am, the knowledge of self-existence obtaining in him of thought must be there first for any other thought to be there. No other thought is possible, no experience is possible, no knowledge of object is possible without knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Therefore, I am, the knowledge of self-existence obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am is the dead end of the mind. And after, and that I am, we have to go up to that. Then, if you analyze, where does this knowledge of self-existence rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? If you arrive at, analyze, then the abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, can be arrived at. I read not as an object, but as the very truth of this knowledge. Swarupam of knowledge, source of this knowledge. The knowledge of self-existence, the source of this knowledge is a manifest knowledge. And where does this knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am manifest from? What is the source of the manifestation? If I arrive at, we'll arrive at the abstract formless reality, which is the nature of knowing, implied with the term Atma as our own Swarupam. Therefore, mind is also said to be cave. It is in the cave of mind consisting of various thoughts. We have to arrive at the Atma. In this cave of mind, Atma remains as though hidden. Therefore, Guha Hitaha. Guha Hitaha. And Gahvareshtaha. Again, Gahvara has so many meanings. Gahvara means cave. Gahvara also means cave. Gahvara also means hidden. Gahvara means deep. And Gahvareshta means deepest. Deep, deeper, deepest. And here, Gahvareshtam, Atma is said to be Gahvareshtaha. Why? Because Atma is beyond all the thoughts. Atma is beyond all the thoughts. Nothing beyond the Atma. So what is that the bottommost here? There's no bottom or Atma is all pervasive. The standpoint of body, mind, sense complex, Atma is looked upon as the bottommost. Is the at the bottommost means Atma is beyond everything. Atma is beyond everything means Atma is distinct from all the thoughts. Atma is there as the very truth of all the thoughts. Atma is as the very truth of the entire mind. Atma is therefore Atma is there as the truth of the entire body, mind, sense complex. Just as water can be said to be the Gahvareshtam of the entire ocean, the every wave. So here, the all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence implied by the term Atma is the Atma being distinct from everything. So all pairs of opposites, all afflictions, all pains, all sufferings, all pleasures. Atma is distinct from all of them. Atma is there as the very truth of any pain. Atma is there as the truth of every experience of any pleasure. There cannot be something called experience at all without the experiencer Atma. See, it's a very important verse, okay? Please listen to me carefully. There cannot be experience at all without the experiencer. The experiencer is only a qualification attributed to the Atma. So, Atma, existence of Atma, is existence of experiencer. Existence of experiencer is existence of the experience. And existence of experience is what? Existence of the experienced also. Therefore, there cannot be an experience called pain. A phenomenon called pain, a phenomenon called pleasure, a phenomenon called jealousy or hatred or anger, likes and dislikes, ragadveshas, desire, no phenomenon, obtaining of a thought, a subtle phenomenon, can exist independently without the experience. Every object in existence presupposes the experience. Existence presupposes the knowledge. Without the knowledge, you cannot talk about the object. Without the experience, there's no experienced object. So experienced object, the existence presupposes knowledge, experience. The knowledge presupposes the knower. Experience presupposes the experiencer. Therefore, Gahvareshtaha means what? The one who remains as the truth of all pairs of opposites. The one who Atma is the very truth of all experiences. The one whose presence makes all experiences possible. Therefore, one who is in the form of all experiences, one who is free from experience. Okay, Atma is free from experience, but Atma is there as the truth of all experiences. One whose presence makes all experiences possible is Gahavareshtaha. Very subtle, this is. Gahavareshtaha and Puranaha. Atma is timeless, therefore Atma is the most ancient. Beginningless. Atma has no beginning. Atma is timeless, beginningless, therefore the most ancient. At the same time, Atma is endless. Atma is changeless. Therefore, Atma is ever new. That which is beginninglessly the most ancient, timelessly the most ancient, and that which is changelessly, endlessly, ever fresh, ever new, is Puranaha. Puranaha. And then, this is all description of Atma, Devaha. Tam durdarsham gudham anupravishtam guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam devam adhyatma yoga adhigamena matva dhiraha harshashokau jahati. If a person is given to the pursuit of self-knowledge, in terms of a person goes through shravanam and mananam idhyasanam, and if he clearly understands, discovers the one's own sarupam, the all pervasive reality appearing as one's own sarupam, which is of this nature described by these words, then becoming objective towards his own mind, claiming the Atma as one's own self, just shifting the identity of Manatma to Atma, becoming objective towards his own mind in terms of all pairs of opposites, this person becomes free from the hold of pain and pleasure, means he attains Jivan Muktihi. So, Lord Yama talks about the benefit of the discovery of the self in this verse. So, one has to take ownership of fullness of happiness as one's own self in the wake of Arjya of one's own self, to free oneself from, to become objective towards the relative time-bound pain and pleasure. Okay. Next verse. Is it clear? Yeah. Yetachrutva. If you have any doubt here, you can please feel free to ask me afterwards. Okay. Yetachrutva samparigrihya martya pravrihya dharmyamanu metamapya pravrihya dharmyamanu metamapya samodate modaniyam hilabdhva vivruttam sadma nachiketa sammanye. Yetachrutva samparigrihya martya pravrihya dharmyamanumetamapya samodate modaniyam hilabdhva vivruttam sadma nachiketa sammanye. Yetachrutva samparigrihya martya pravrihya dharmyamanumetamapya samodate modaniyam hilabdhva vivrutam sadma nachiketa sammanye. Yetat shrutva, yetat shrutva. Sandhi, you all know very well. Yetat shrutva, yetat shrutva. When you're reading, you must read it as yetat shrutva. But when you get the, when you, for the meaning, you have to break it, yetat shrutva. ஏத்தச்ருத்வ சம் பரி கிரிஹ்ய கிரிஹித்வா. But with the prefixes becomes grihya. Pari, sam, prefix. Pari is a prefix. Sam, pari, grihya. Grihitva, otherwise sam, pari, grihya. Two prefixes, sam, pari, grihya. Martyaha. Martyaha. Martyaha is a mortal. One who is subject to death, subject to mortality, is said to be martyaha. One who is subject to mortality is martyaha. Any living being is a martya. Any living being having body maintenance complex is martyaha. Okay. So here martyaha pravrihya. தர்மியம் அணும் ஏதம் ஆப்ய. சோ பிரவ்ருஹ்ய தென் தர்மியம் அணும் ஏதம் ஆப்ய சஹ மோததே மோதனீயம் ஹி லப்த்வா விவ்ருதம் சத்ம நச்சிகேதசம் மன்யே. Is the verse. So being given to the pursuit of knowledge, or resorting to self-knowledge, was mentioned as the means of attainment of self-knowledge. Earlier. So, Adhyatma Yoga, Adhyatma Yoga Anugamena, was meant said in the previous mantra. Now, Adhyatma Yoga means self-knowledge. If a person being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge is the means of attainment of self-knowledge. And one can attain the self which is of that nature, we understood earlier. Now the question is, what is meant by the expression Adhyatma Yogaha? What does it mean by saying being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge? Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamaha means being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge means what? Being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge, Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamaha, being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge means being given to the study of the Shastram. Being given to study of the Shastra means going through the three steps, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasram in proper order. Going through the discipline of Shravanam, disciplines of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam is being given to the pursuit of self-knowledge. So what is Shravanam? Shravanam is a gerund meaning listening. So listening to the unfoldment of object matter of the Shastram systematically, consistently, for length of time, from a competent teacher, is Shravanam. Then what is Mananam? Mananam is also literally means thinking. Repeatedly thinking is reflecting upon what has been heard and understood, thereby having the doubts resolved in what has been heard is mananam. See, mananam means thinking, that's all. So repeatedly thinking means what? Reflecting upon what has been heard and understood, thereby having all the doubts in water, having the doubts resolved, is the discipline of mananam. And what is nididhyasanam? Nididhyasanam, of course, is constantly without any distraction, dwelling upon what has been clearly, doubtlessly understood, thereby ascertaining is nididhyasanam. Okay, nididhyasanam. Therefore, it is said here, Martyaha, a mortal human being, Yetata Shrutva, having Martyaha. Why a human being is it Martyaha? Because Martyaha, an ignorant human being who mistakes himself to be mortal body, mind sense complex, who has identity with the mortal body, is said to be a martyaha. An ignorant human being who, because of ignorance, who identifies himself with the physical body, a mortal body, is said to be a martyaha. So, yetata shrutva. So, mortal human being, yetata shrutva, having heard this. Having heard this means what? Having listened to the unfoldment of the nature of the self. Yetat means this reality obtaining as one's own self. Yetat means this. And this implies the absolute reality obtaining as the nearest self. Yetat is, it means this. This means the all pervasive, the only secondless absolute reality obtaining as the nearest self. This Atma, a very truth of I. Shutva means having heard, having listened to the unfoldment of the nature of the nearest self. The reality obtaining as one's own self. Yetat Shutva, which is imparted by, so having heard the unfoldment of the nature of one's own self, from an acharya, from a teacher. So, etashruta means having gone through the discipline of shravanam. Martyaha etashrutva. Samparigrihya. So having gone through the discipline of Shravanam properly, having listened to unfoldment of the nature of the self from a competent teacher, then having grasped it properly, Samparigrihya. Having Samyak Parigrihya, having totally, completely, thoroughly, doubtlessly understood. Samparigrihya. Sam means well. Pari means totally. Samparigrihya, having clearly, completely, thoroughly, doubtlessly understood, grasped. The teaching, it means having clearly, doubtlessly understood the nature of the Atma, nature of one's own self, as abstract, formless consciousness implied by the term Atma. So having heard the unfoldment of the nature of the self, obtaining as one's own self, then having recognized clearly, doubtlessly, grasped one's own nature, being consciousness, Atma, samparigrihya. When a person discovers the self, what happens? He shifts his identity from Anatma to Atma. Then when he sees one's own self as one's own self being the Atma, distinct, being distinct from body, minds and scoplers, for him, what is Atma? What is the self? What is the content of I? The content of I, the truth of I, the meaning of the word I, the substance, the substantive first person singular pronoun I for him is not the body, mind, sense complex. For him, it is the abstract, formless consciousness. It is not the material body, mind, sense complex. It is the abstract, formless consciousness. And in understanding, consciousness is distinct from, though it is consciousness, is not distant from the body, imagines complex. It is non-distancible, all pervasive, abstract consciousness, distinct from everything. And this consciousness is all pervasive. And consciousness, it is the presence of consciousness which lends life. It is the manifestation of all pervasive consciousness. Lends life, consciousness, sentience to the inert body, mind, complex. And this consciousness is not limited by the peripheries of body, mind, complex, being all pervasive. When the material body falls apart and paradha gets exhausted, the material body falls apart, nothing happens to consciousness. Consciousness, when the subtle body resolves, consciousness continues to survive without being subject to any change or death. Consciousness continues to be there. Only thing is, the consciousness obtaining in the body, mind, sense complex, being there as manifest consciousness, with this manifest media, consciousness is available for recognition. The consciousness without the manifesting media, the body, mind, sense complex, is not available for recognition. So non-available, consciousness which is not available for recognition should not be mistaken for non-existent. And it is this abstract formless consciousness is implied by the term Atma. So he says, first being given to the discipline of Shravanamanam Nidhyasanam means thoroughly having understood, doubtlessly, completely, having clearly understood the nature of the self, taking ownership of that Atma as the self, samparigrihya. First is Shravanam. After Shravanam, then we can understand, going through the disciplines, without doubtlessly, clearly having understood the Atma. Samparigrihya. Then what happens? Samparigrihya. Grahanam means taking, receiving, grasping, understanding. Parigrahanam, completely understanding. Samparigrahanam, clearly, doubtlessly, totally understanding. Okay, samparigrihya. Then, pravrihya. Means, Shravanam blesses a person with the knowledge. Even then he has a very clear understanding. Still, there may be some doubts. So, pravrishya means distinguishing the Atma. Okay? Distinguishing the Atma. Pravrihya means having distinguished the self from the anatma, which means having understood the atma being distinct. Pravrihya means having understood the atma being distinct from the anatma. Anatma. Pravrihya. And this, see, Pravrihanam means distinguishing, understanding the Atma being distinct. Pravrihya. And taking the Atma as that Atma, as one's own self. Okay. And what is that Atma which has been distinguished, which has been discerned, which has been understood? That Atma is Dharmyaha Anuhu. So Dharmyam Anum. Dharmyaha means Atma which is inseparable from Dharma. Atma which is inseparable from Dharma is Dharmyaha. Why? Because Atma is the very supporter, sustainer, upholder of Dharma. See, Atma is said to be Dharmyaha because anything pertaining to Dharmaha, this Dharmyaha. Please make a note. What is the anything pertaining to Dharma is Dharmya. See, dharma is, see, dhriyate anena iti dharmaha, dharanat dharmaha, dharma iti uchyate. What does it mean? That which upholds everything is the order dharma. And atma is dharmyaha means, atma is the very support of dharma, the order. There's no order which exists outside of the atma. So the Atma, the absolute reality, Atma is that which sustains the all sustaining Dharma. One meaning. Another meaning is Atma which can be recognized only if a person lives a life of Dharma. Only by strictly, consciously living a life of values, life of Dharma, one can become mentally prepared, mentally subtle and sensitive. Thereby one can discover the subtlest, distinguish and ascertain the subtlest Atma. Therefore, Atma is a bit Dharmyaha because Atma which can be arrived at only by having a subtle prepared mind, by living a conscious life of Dharma. Is it to be Dharmyaha? Is it clear? Okay. Dharmyaha. Very beautiful word, this word Dharmyaha. Okay. Then, so without living a life of Dharma, impossible to understand the existence of Atma, to arrive at the nature of the Atma. That's why Karma Yoga, life of Karma Yoga is always emphasized repeatedly. Why? Because a spiritual aspirant has no choice. One has to consciously live a life of Karma Yoga governed by Dharma. Only then a person can become mentally subtle, mentally prepared. One can have relative peace. One can become relatively tranquil and pure. Only then understanding and assimilation of the nature of the Atma is possible. Therefore, Atma is said to be Dharmyaha. Then Anuhu. Atma is Anuhu means what? Anu means any atom is called Anu. Anything very subtle and small is also said to be Anu. But here, Atma is the subtlest. Therefore, it's not available for objectification, not available for perception or description. Therefore, Atma is here meant by the term Anuhu. So, Anuhu is not actually a word implying the Atma here. It's a secondary usage. Simply it is meant, said. Because Atma's being subtlest is meant by the term Anuhu, that's all. Anuhu. So this is the, now the mantra says, Yetat Shrutva Samparigrihya Pravrihya. Yetat means what? Dharmyam. Yetat Dharmyam Anum. Etam. Etam Apya. Apya means what? Having arrived at. Having attained. Having reached. You don't reach physically. Don't walk towards Atma. Don't attain Atma. So having arrived at Atma in terms of knowledge. Etam Apya. Etam Anum Dharmyam Apya. Having arrived at Atma in terms of its nature, Atma which is Dharmyaha, Atma which is Anuhu, having arrived at such Atma in terms of knowledge, that person, Modate, Saha Modate, he rejoices, he delights. I mean what? He revels. He revels. He revels in the vision of fullness of happiness. He revels in knowledge. I used to tell many times, Pooja Swami used to say this, there's no greater joy than reveling in the vision of one's own Swarupam. There's no greater luxury than reveling in the vision of one's own self. Saha Modate, that person rejoices, revels. How modaniyam hi labdhva? Modaniyam hi labdhva. See, Atma is also said to be modaniyaha. Modaniyaha means what? Modaniyaha means that which has to be rejoiced. But here modaniyaha is said to be the source of all forms of pleasures. Atma, which is of the nature of fullness of happiness, the source of all pleasures, the only source of all happiness is Atma. Therefore, modaniyam hi labdhva, having gained. So already apya, labdhva, all the words mean the same. Having got, having obtained, having arrived at, having reached that Atma. Atma, then modaniyam hi labdhva, having arrived at, in terms of knowledge, the source of all happiness. Modaniyam hi labdhva, that person revels. Therefore, Lord Yama says what? He Nachiketas. And now, you are already a qualified student. You are a person of total vairag, dispassion. You have all discriminative understanding. Therefore, you have all vairagyam. You rejected all the gifts I gave. Now, and you aspire for the knowledge of the self. And attaining that self, you are going to attain the absolute end in terms of moksha. Why? Knowledge itself is moksha. You're asking for knowledge. Knowledge itself is moksha. You're asking for jnana means you're asking for moksha. Even if you do not know, of course, Nachiketas knew, of course. So knowledge itself is moksha. So aspiring for jnanam means aspiring for moksha. Attainment of jnanam means attainment of moksha. They are not two different things. They are identical. Therefore, Lord Yama says here in this context, Nachiketasam Vivrutam Sadma Manye. So, the word is Sadma. Sadma is a neuter gender word, which means Mokshaha. Sadma means abode. Sadma means an abode. So, here, an abode of Moksha means a means of attainment of moksha. The knowledge which is that means of attainment of moksha, knowledge which itself is moksha. And why? Because Atma is the source of happiness. Atma is the source of freedom. Atma is of the nature of freedom. An abode of moksha is Atma. So he says, you're aspiring for Atma Jnanam, therefore, Nachiketas, you are aspiring for moksha. The knowledge is a means of attainment of moksha. Knowledge is an Atma, is the abode of moksha. Nachiketasam manye, he says. Vivrutam Sadma manye. So, Nachiketas, I see Nachiketas. I think Nachiketas as the one who has already attained moksha. Why? You are with the teacher. I'm going to teach you. You have all qualifications. Nothing can prevent you from attaining jnanam. And you're asking for jnanam. Take it for granted. You've already attained jnanam. You've already attained moksha. That is the meaning implied here. Is it clear? Yetat chutva samparigrihya martyas martyav pravrihya dharmyamanumetamapya samodate modaniyam hi labdhva vivrutam sadma Nachiketasam manye. I consider Nachiketas to be the one who has already attained the abode of moksha, the Atma, which is of the nature of freedom, which is the only source of all happiness. And the person, the mortal, who discovers that Atma, Dharmyaha Anuhu Atma, okay, having gone through the proper discipline of teaching, definitely that person rejoices in one's own self. He revels in one's own self. Now here the word dharmyaha means dharmaha dharmyaha. What is the difference? Anything pertaining to dharma is said to be dharmya. And here atma is implied by the term dharmyaha. Why? Because attainment of knowledge of atma. See, atma cannot be attained. Why? Atma is already there as yourself. How can you attain yourself? Atma is already yourself. You can never attain Atma. You know, Surupam. The mind can never attain Atma because mind can understand everything is other than itself. Atma being the very truth of the mind, Atma being inseparable from the mind, mind cannot attain Atma. So, Atma has to be only discovered, arrived at only in terms of knowledge. And that Atma, therefore attainment of Atma is not possible. Attainment of the knowledge of the Atma alone is possible. And the attainment of knowledge of the Atma presupposes the mental preparation. The mental preparation means mental subtleness. The mind, grossness of the mind must be converted into subtleness, subtle mind. The gross mind must become subtle mind. The insensitive mind should become insensitive mind. The unprepared mind must become prepared mind. So the disturbed mind should become calm mind. Impure mind should become pure mind. And if the mind has to become pure and steady, agitation-free, tranquil, sensitive and subtle, one has to consciously live a life of dharma. Therefore, dharma jivitena apyaha atma dharmyaha. Atma which can be arrived at, attained in terms of knowledge, by mental, preparing one's mind, by living consciously a life of dharma, is also said to be atma dharmyaha. In this context, that is the meaning. See, if you were, literally if you want, what is the meaning of the word dharmya? Anything pertaining to dharma is dharmya. But here atma is a bit dharmya because atma which can be attained only in terms of jnanam. And for which one has to be mentally prepared. And that mental preparation is possible only if a person lives a life of dharma. Therefore atma is said to be dharmya. So atma, again, anuhu also simply used to say atma is being the subtlest. The word anuhu is used. It's only in a gauna prayoga. Gauna prayoga means a use, simple usage. Actually, atma is not something subtle which can be perceived. Atma is imperceptibly subtlest. That's all. That is the meaning of the word dharma. So, what he says, amartyaha. Yetatu shrutva, okay, first number one, okay, then samparigrihya, then pravrihya, yetatu dharmyam anum, some, first gone to the nature, then yetam anum dharmyam apya, so yetatu shrutva, samparigrihya, pravrihya, Martyaha, etam dharmyam anum apya. Sahamodate. Here a doubt must be there. First he says etat. Then he says etam. Got it? Etat means uta gender word. Etam means masculine gender word. What does it mean? So etat implies nature of the reality. Etam implies atma. Understand? Nature of the atma, then atma. So, etam anum dharmyam apya, having arrived at atma, this nearest self, the subtle atma, which can be understood only by living a life of dharma, that atma. But first, etat chuttam is what? Having heard the unfoldment of the nature of this atma, having clearly, doubtlessly understood that, having distinguished Atma from the Anatma, that person, Modaniyam Labdhva Modate, having attained the absolute source of happiness, Modaniyam here to be taken as not as an object, not as a participant, as a noun. Modaniyam, okay, Modaniyam Labdhva, having attained in terms of, having attained in terms of knowledge, the source of all happiness, in terms of moksha, that person revels, rejoices in the vision of the self, in the vision of the fullness of happiness, having discovered that. Therefore, vivrutam, sadma vivrutam nachiketasam manye. I think of Nachiketas as the one who has already discovered the abode of happiness, or already distinguished the abode of happiness. Okay. We'll stop here. Yes?
So, Vivrutam Vishtek is distinguished or discovered?
Yeah, distinguished. Distinguished literally, impressed, discovered. Sadma vibhrutam.
Same meaning as pravruhya.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Also, samparigrahya, should we take we said etat shrutva, so shrutva is shravanam.
Shravanam. Parigrahanam is clearly understanding.
Yeah, so pari means mananam and sam means nididhyasanam. Is that correct?
No, we don't need to say all those things. Mm-hmm. Again, it comes. Sam parigrihya implies having clear, doubt-free understanding. I mean, the person has gone through all the disciplines. Vivrita has, you see, every participle has so many meanings. The contextual meanings are different. One of the meanings is open. Moksha is already known. Vivrita also means distinctly known. Visheshana vritam, distinctly known. Already, it has, Atma has been distinctly known by Nachiketas. Atma has already, moksha has already been attained. In Atma, all it is ready for him to enter into. That's the meaning. Already it is very clear. One meaning is very clear also, vivrita, evident. Open, opened. As a past passive participle, it means opened. As the noun, as adjective, it means open also. It's no more closed for him. It's unclosed for him. Moksha is already opened for him. It means already it's ready for him. Is already attained. Is as good as has already attained. Jnanam, which itself is moksha. See, sadma literally means abode. But here, the knowledge and abode of moksha means the atma, which is an abode of moksha, the source of happiness, moksha. Knowledge, which is the means of moksha, has already been attained by him. As good as already is already attained. See, abode of moksha means atma. Atma is abode of moksha. And jnanam is the means of attainment of moksha. Then we have to take both the meanings. So, sadma vivrutam means an abode of moksha. Atma is, has been already distinguished and understood by him. A means of attainment of moksha has already been attained by him. So because sadma means abode, people take the meaning of the word opened also. Is also opened. Again, it becomes something, it may confuse. That's why I prefer using the word distinguished. As there's a place, moksha is an opening. So I did take it that way. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Jivyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay.